Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Planet FM 104.6, 6:30 on a Monday night. That must mean it is third and footlong time. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm DT.
Evening, DT. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Apart from I've just deafened myself because I really didn't appreciate either how loud I am or how loud these headphones are.
There I don't think it's me, because I'm not normally as a loud person.
No, it's definitely me misjudging how loud I'd actually turn the headphones to.
Good job.
Thank you. How was your weekend?
It was good. I spent yesterday with you for a large portion of the day.
I know. Aren't you just miserable about that?
I thought you'd be miserable about seeing me.
How many costume changes did you make?
I only did one. You did like four, didn't you?
Three, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then told that my clothes were too good.
Yeah, your clothes were too fancy. I wore a hoodie. I met the brief. You did not. You went all fancy with it.
Well, I turned up in a hoodie.
Yeah, you did, and then you took it off.
For anyone that doesn't know, even us, we were at a photo shoot. That's very. I told someone today, I was just a photo shoot yesterday, and they were like, oh, look at you.
Look at you.
I know. No modelling. There's none of that. It was just show photo shoot.
I kept getting told to do model poses, and I was like, this is not the body of a model.
I just kept doing, you know when people are doing the...
Oh, so you're lucky. Yeah, no. I got given, like, that sort of... You'll probably see on the camera if you watch on our YouTube, but just all sorts of poses that this doesn't really do or doesn't fit.
I kept doing the old, like, lean against the wall, one leg back, folded arms, hands in pockets, like...
Yeah, I know, you were also in a bush at one point.
I was. I don't know. I really didn't understand that. I was kind of like, why am I in a bush?
I was
when
also
I'm meant to be in a rehab facility, but
yeah.
Maybe I'm the sort of like the creepy guy in the show that just hangs out in the bushes.
In the bush.
Not where I want to be.
I know. I was in the closet, so that was quite funny.
Ironic.
Yeah, no, right?
But it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
There was part of it that was funny. Weren't me and you playing with lemons at some point?
Yes, and then we got told off because we were having too much fun.
No, you kept dropping them.
We were having too much fun.
And then, no, that was the spatula in the kitchen.
That was the spatula.
The spatula in the kitchen when you kept trying.
It was
Danny,
fun.
Danny.
I was like, I'm sorry. It was funny.
And if you're listening, Liz, thank you for inviting us. It was good.
Yeah, it was.
It was. It's good fun. Four. 3 hours of... changing clothes and doing all that sort of stuff. I'm not sure I could be a professional actor.
No, I don't think I could.
A, because I don't have the talent, and B...
I think that's why we do this, and we don't do that.
Did you do anything else apart from spend your Sunday...
with you?
Yes.
Just normal weekend, what about you?
I emceed a show on Saturday night, which was weird because... there was half the audience were a bunch of people that had gone out together and were drunk. And then the other half of the audience was a family.
Yeah.
And it was like trying to appease the family humour and the drunk humour without offending anybody.
That doesn't really... Yeah, family humour and drunk humour and...
I kind of got the line. I found the line. I did have to tell a couple of times, like, no.
No.
No. A couple of times. Suggestions. That were trying to push the dark humour envelope too far. No. Even when one of the people in the show dropped an F-bomb, I ran over to the kids and put my hands over their ears.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did that. And then, yes, answering questions on our social media channel.
Oh, no.
About why I thought that rugby and the NFL were so closely linked, and then other people were coming in going, I actually think it's rugby... and chess, and it started to get all very about, yes, about what rugby league and was really like, so it's fun. It's good fun. I enjoy going to our socials every now and again.
Every now and again.
And then some people were texting me today about the latest social, which was about me trying the OG Red Bull.
Yes,
that
the
you
OG
very kindly bought in.
Uncarbonated
the
Red Bull.
The guy that kind of has something to do with the show after hours kind of just bizarrely appears into the shot.
Yes. I didn't know. Well, you saw it happen. You could hear it happen during it. But there's nothing you can do when you only buy one can of something, so you can't reshoot it.
So
no. That's that.
It was funny because they text me. They're like, that guy just appears random into the show. It's like some random scene out the office where just somebody just rolls up into the back of the...
Especially because he is a unique looking person.
I know. So you don't miss him.
Mm-mm.
So I thought it was kind of funny as well. So I've been answering social media questions and stuff like that. So apart from that, but news story, because you know how I like to bring sports that have got nothing to do with this show onto the show.
Okay, so I should tune off now.
No, I want you to tune in because it's food related.
So I'm just going to standby mode.
So Ryan Fox, New Zealander.
For my head, I was like, oh no, his name is John Fox, and I don't know why I went to the very old
Because you went straight
Chicago
back.
Bears.
You went straight into NFL mode.
Bear down.
Denver Broncos
Bear
head
down.
Coach.
Bear down.
Carolina Panthers
Bear
head coach.
Bear down.
Ryan Fox, who won the British Open as golf, lives in Miami, came back to New Zealand because he wanted to show everybody the claret jug because he's a proud New Zealander. First thing he wanted to do when he got back here? Find a pie, and not any old pie, a specific pie. And he talked about
potato
the fact
top.
That he's tried English pies, and he's like, nah.
Potato just, top?
No. Yeah. He has a special pie, and here's a shout out. Rollers Bakery in Northcote, they make a steak, bacon jam, and cheese pie. That sounds good.
It's a little salt.
I don't know what bacon jam is. It's not bacon and jam, it's bacon jam. So I, at some point, when I find myself on the shore, are going to have to go and find Rollers Bakery. Now, they would sell 50... So I saw an interview with a guy who owns Rollers Bakery, or he's a manager or something like that, and he said, we would normally sell 50 of these over a weekend. On Friday morning, they sold over 50 on Friday morning alone when people heard that that was the pie of choice. I don't know whether people went and like, if I eat this pie, I'll be able to like be a scratch golfer that will be able to go and win a major.
Is that why you'll be eating the pie, Darren? Because I know you're an avid golfer.
I am an avid golfer. I don't think Ryan Fox will have anything to worry about that I will be taking the New Zealand number one position. I don't think he's got anything to worry about there. I might be able to take the New Zealand 1,000,001 position, but so Ryan Fox, pie eater. I thought food related, bring it to the show.
Better.
We're not talking pizzas. We're not on Chicago pizzas. So as always, don't forget, if you are regular to the show, you'll know this. But if not, and if you're a regular to the show and you haven't done any of this, then what are you waiting for? I'm talking directly to you. So, not you.
No,
you.
I know. It's the job. You got
get
the
on our YouTube and subscribe. But more and more people have subscribed to our YouTube channel.
I know, sure.
Get on TikTok and you can see us do wild trends with mad people walking into the background. Get onto Facebook and you can be in our food poll, which will be coming up shortly. And Instagram, you probably get a bit of a mixture of everything.
A mixture. Beautiful mixture.
It is. It's like a finely baked cake, this show is.
I thought you were going to say like a perfect cocktail or something.
No. But you always think that I'm on the alcohol vibe.
You were the one who said that we should all go out. And maybe consume a slightly
I can't say anything without being called out now, can I? No, I did suggest that the rehab cast should cancel the lunch and just go out. And that was shortly after the alcohol stash in the place that we were
filming
was found.
Yes.
And there were...
A substantial amount of...
Yes.
Of bottles that were full.
Of vodka and chili margaritas and Jack Daniels and wines and...
Kraken.
And we didn't, yeah. And I'm not doing the Kraken challenge.
I'm surprised
you haven't.
It
sounds foul. No. I've done too many alcohol challenges in my life. I don't need those anymore.
Dry July?
No. I struggle to do dry Monday. Never mind anything else.
Dry Monday?
My daughter's just texted me. She's obviously listening. She's gone, you are on the alcohol vibe.
Well, yes, I would agree. And no one's going to expose you more than your family.
No. She don't need to talk.
I wouldn't be...
What's funny is, like, we went to a vineyard in central Otago, and she's never drunk wine, and I took her to a wine tasting. She's vodka and all that stuff. And so took this wine tasting. Anyway, she found this wine that she absolutely loved, this, like, sweet Pinot Gris. So I ended up joining this wine club, which isn't helping my... Like, I'm not into alcohol things. So I joined this wine club, and she walks in today. She's like, so when's the next wine delivery turning up? I was disgusted that I hadn't ordered that exact wine, because in the wine club, you just can't do that.
Sommelier.
You have to order... Yeah, that's the sweet white one, isn't it? This was like a Pinot Gris sort of, like, sweet.
Sommelier is the people who study wine.
Oh, I thought sommelier. What's the wine type that starts with an S then?
Sauvignon is
no, no. Is it like Semillon or something like that?
I know what one you're talking about, but I think it starts with a CH.
No, this one's an S. Now I've got to kind of work out. My daughter's just gone, if you're going out to drinks with the show, can I come? And I'm like, well, you're not in the show, so no, you just can't turn up at like show drinks.
She could be just at the table next door, though. She might be your ride home.
That's right. No. No, we're going to have to get an Uber. That's it. Hey, Sommelier. There you go. I thought there was one called Sommelier.
Sommelier.
But you're Sommelier, yeah, so yeah. Sorry about that. So anyway, yes, so obviously I'm not helping my... Maybe I'm the show alcohol person and you're the show food person. Maybe that's the way this show has to go at some point.
As we were discussing before the show, I cannot consume large amounts of alcohol due to my various brain injuries. So.
No, I'll be...
Fortunate.
You be the large...
I could eat the food challenges.
The food
though.
Stuff, yeah, and I'll just do the alcohol challenges.
Yep.
So, do you want to start off some food facts?
Whoa! That's impossible.
That is correct.
And I do believe you are on deck this week.
I am. For appetizers or hors d'oeuvres, entree, whatever you would like to call it, they're either small or they're normally small, but sometimes I feel like you order them and they're quite a large portion. But they're a hot or cold dish served before a main meal. The word hors d'oeuvres literally translates to outside the work, so outside the meal. Fun times, right? The appetizers started in Europe with some debate to the origin country. They either came from Russia or from Greek and Roman times. So that's two very different.
Just a bit.
Just slightly different geographical and cultural tendencies. But yes, the ancient Romans and Greeks called this small meal promulsus or propona, and usually entailed small amounts of fish, vegetables and olives. So Darren would not be partaking of the fish. And meanwhile, the Russians called this meal zakuski and consisted of meat, fish and caviar again. Not a fan for Darren. But today, however, I thought it would be fun if Darren blind ranked appetizers from around the world. There are six of them, Darren, so 1 to 6. I thought this would be more fun
than
hearing.
Is this Monday Night Showdown?
No, this is not Monday Night Showdown.
Oh, God.
Monday Night Showdown's very different.
Now I've got to rank something. Now I'm going to need a computer to type it in.
Oh, no, I'll keep track for you. So this is blind ranking, so as you know, 1 to 6. And the first one, let's start off with a staple of America, since we are an American football show. Wings, 1 to 6. 1 being best, 6 being worst. You have to say now.
4.
4, you're giving them a 4? Okay.
I'll give wings a 4.
Staple of an antipasto or Italian cuisine, bruschetta.
Oh, I quite like a bruschetta, actually. I'm going to give that a 3.
3, okay.
Yep.
Staple of last century, deviled eggs.
Oh, God. I don't really know them too well, so I'm going to give them a 6.
Staple of the freezer aisle in Pack and Save, spring rolls.
Oh, I'll give spring rolls. I'll give them a 5.
A 5.
Jeez, I'm left with 1 and 2 now.
Staple of Mexican restaurants all around the world, chips and dip.
Ooh, chips and dip. I'm quite happy to give those a 2.
Okay, so
you're
going to
make
in,
this some BS fish. You set me up massively here. It's going to be some fish nonsense.
No, I actually think you'll be okay with this. I'm not sure, I've never seen you eat one, but a staple of spice and pastry lovers everywhere, samosas.
Oh, one!
There you
go. My favourite food is Indian food, so I think so, and then Mexican second, so...
Should I run down this list then?
Oh, I've just done it.
One samosa, two chips and dips, three bruschetta, four wings, five spring roll, and six deviled eggs.
Do you know what? I'm comfortable with that.
You're comfortable with that?
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, I'm glad.
I don't. My daughter will probably now text me and go, what the hell was that? Like.
And for one final fact for the day, there are five main types of appetizers in the Western world, and they all have very fancy-sounding names. There's canapés, crudités, hors d'oeuvres, consommés, and then a very fun chips and dip. So after a very fun French list, it's just chips and dip. No French word for that. So no. That was your fun appetizer food facts and Darren's apparent six favourite appetizers around the world.
Well, only the six that I was allowed to choose from.
Yes, I know.
I'm sure there was some, somewhere on a menu... Like garlic bread or something would appear
so,
in a six over deviled eggs.
So, yeah, my sister brought up, she's like, why is there no garlic bread? And I was like, I feel like bread's a different thing to an appetizer. Like, you get bread and then you get an appetizer.
Thing with appetizer, when you go to a menu as well, you kind of get a starter and then it's got the food and then it's got two numbers in brackets and it's like, would you like it as a main?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, why is it in the starter list then?
I know, it's like, very confusing.
Like, stop this.
Stop it.
Stop this.
Stop it.
Should you know what? That blind ranking got out of that one pretty well.
Good job. Should we go on to... the food poll.
Yes, indeed. And it was a pretty simple one this week. It was, literally, apart from the main, if you could only have two courses... What choice would you go with?
I went with dessert.
You went with dessert. And do you know what I went with? Starter. Mm-hmm. Because everything we do on this show seems to remarkably turn different. So there was only four choices. And I don't even know. Corin Healy, if you're listening, sent a message directly to the third and footlong Facebook Messenger page, which any of you can do, and we welcome.
Darren will.
Can you add other? I'm like, what is the bloody other? And he still hasn't answered why other. Apart from salad or insalata or something, I'm like, what else is, like, appetizer and dessert? Like, what is wrong with you? I just think he wanted to just, like annoy me.
If
so
you're getting degustation or something, that obviously has more mains. But, like, that's a whole other thing.
It's a whole different meal sort of experience.
So, what, one out?
So, first of all, I'll go through the votes, then I'll kind of go through a few comments.
I'm thinking neither I'll have two mains was third.
It was?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down for those people.
Mm-hmm.
So, other was 7%, more than one person actually voted for that. Neither I'll have two mains was 16%.
Yep.
16%.
That's fair, if you're sharing.
So, Wegovy for those people. And then dessert and appetizer, my. Dessert got 38%. So your home is 38%. Appetizer starter, 39!
Nice. I said dessert because I often can't eat any of the appetizers because majority of them tend to be deep fried.
So this is where you need to get into garlic bread.
I do eat garlic bread, but that's my appetizer. There's a fly in here.
There is. So, Karen from Auckland, brownie all the time for me. Then Reese confused me. He was like, what are the options? Need more info to make that choice. I mean,
what?
Starter or dessert, a main course or like appetizer I don't know how many more options you really need other than those two.
One day you should put a poll up with no comments allowed and then see how many messages we get about how they can't add other.
Our stuff in the background just sits there. Here we go. Let me just get the... let me just put all comments because Facebook for some reason didn't do it. Emma, I always want dessert, but normally too hungry to wait, so go for a starter.
That's fair.
That's fair enough.
That's fair, Emma.
Craig... This week's poll is sponsored by People on a Good Income.
That's also fair.
Oh, just so leftist. Thank you, Craig. Stuart, Kansas City Chiefs. I'm a starter and main, but Naomi, who's his wife, is main and dessert. So now you know why I never end up having starters anymore.
I thought you could say three-course meal.
And I was like, happy wife, happy life, Stuart. Yeah, then Corin wasn't satisfied with just writing to us on Messenger, then also put it in the comments as well. Please, can we have another option? Craig, again, I'm a big fan of starters in that I start eating the meal, and once I'm done eating, I get up from the table, because I'm a mains only one and done type of guy.
Yeah.
And then Corin wanted to start a fight with, is a dinner roll a main or starter?
That's what I asked you. The bread thing. Bread's a different thing. It's not an appetizer.
I think it is.
I think you get bread and an appetizer.
I mean, you can have, but like if you have an Indian meal and bread is like part of the main,
it's
because naan bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas garlic bread, I have that down as a solid starter.
I just have it down as a thing that you have.
Unless you go to an all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut and then it's just like everything's full on. Yeah, they're bringing them back.
Oh, really?
So I've heard. I used to think they were amazing.
Childhood.
One of my first experiences of New Zealand was when we got into the country, we stayed in Auckland. Mm-hmm. And the first night, because we literally travelled in at early hours of the morning, well, I just need somewhere quick. And there was a Pizza Hut not far from our hotel. Now, when we'd gone to the hotel at 5 o'clock at night, Auckland was just like mental, pre-COVID and all that, just way pre-COVID. Yeah. And then I went out at 7 o'clock at night, and it was like the end of the world had happened. Like the entire CBD, there was just no one.
Yeah.
So we'd gone from taking our life into our own hands, crossing the road, to shooting a cannon and not killing anybody. And then, so when we drove down country, because we were living in Wellington first off, we stopped off in Taupo, and there was an all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut there. And stopped there and ate, and then got to the end of the meal and went, oh, tips, I don't know what to do. And so I put like $10 down, because I didn't really know what the culture was in New Zealand. And went to get in the car, and I saw the pizza person running after me. I was like, oh, no. You haven't paid enough tip. What the hell is this? Gave me the $10 back. I went, we don't do that here.
We don't.
And I was like, I love this place. Because even in England, it was starting to creep in, and it was like, oof.
Tip, tip, tip.
Tip, tip, tip. So there you go. Yeah. So it was a close run thing. That's probably the closest we've ever had. 39, 38. Next week, we're also going to get Craig on the show because apparently he has beef with us about our food. So we're going to get him on the show and we're going to find out what his beef is.
I hope it's about beef.
And me. It'd be amazing if it was about beef, wouldn't it? Right, should we start off with some news?
Jacoby Brissett reworked deal, giving him $15.5 million this year.
Give me my money!
Yay!
It finally happened.
I know.
Hey, I reckon. Do you reckon we could claim that?
It was our video.
Shamed the Cardinals, and they were like, oh, no. Now people are making these videos about Jacoby not getting paid. We need to pay him. I think it's us.
I think it's us.
So, Jacoby.
Give us a tip.
Get us some tickets to a game.
Ignore what Darren said. We like tips here.
No, yeah, the tip is a ticket and flight to
the Cardinals.
Arizona.
Phoenix.
There, let's go. Rams players dyeing their hair.
Yes. I sent this to you. I thought you'd like it.
He's like dyed his hair as like the helmet.
Yeah. It was cool.
And then I said to you, so I've given you like nearly 24 hours notice. What is the wildest thing that you've done with your hair?
I've only ever really coloured it. And that I don't think that's that wild. So
no, you told me something else yesterday. You shaved something into your
hair. Oh, no, I just shaved a Christmas tree for Christmas.
That's pretty wild. Not everybody's
really
walking around the world shaving Christmas trees into their hair.
I get my hair shaved every 3 weeks. It's
don't have a Christmas tree shaved in. I've never seen you with a Christmas tree. What age was that?
Like 2 years ago.
I think that's a pretty unusual thing to do with your hair. I don't see many people walking around with shapes shaved into their hair.
It's quite a common thing to do, to shave shapes into your hair. Because it grows out really fast. It doesn't really matter. What about you, Darren?
So when I was 13, I've done a lot of things to my hair. Mm-hmm. Once I almost considered a perm. That would have been like, that's a very 80s English thing. That's how long my hair used to be. I was kind of went to a friend's house, didn't tell my parents. And when I was young, I was Milky Bar kid, blonde. That's how light my hair was. And I walked into my house at 13 years old with jet black hair.
Nice.
No, not for my mom. She was furious. Sent me to my room and said, wait till your dad comes home. And then, like, I heard my dad come, because that's, like, what used to happen in the UK. Yeah. And so my dad came home, I was like, oh, here we go. Heard him coming up the stairs, and he opened the bedroom door, and he just went, oh, great. So that's why. He said, look, I don't think it's too bad, but obviously I got to be on your mom's side on this. Yeah. So he went downstairs. He's like, yeah, did I tell him? So what was funny is then a couple of days later, I heard my mom outside talking to the neighbour, because that's what moms used to do, is just whinge at the neighbour, because the houses are built like very close together in the UK. And she's like, have you seen Darren? And she's like, yeah, I saw him walk past a few days ago. He had this black hat on. And she was like, no, it was not his hat, that was his hair. But the problem was, because I was light blonde, as it started to grow out, from my distance, I looked like a monk.
Yeah.
Because all you could see was the dark hair around the back. And my mom was just like, I'm done with this. And just took me to her hairdresser's and shaved it like
super short
grade hair. One all over, and was just like, so then I went to, like, from a monk to a convict.
Yeah.
Like,
and then grow back out.
Yeah. So, yeah, no happiness in that family over that. I thought it was pretty cool. Because look at my skin. I'm totally black hair, skin colour, right? So that's what I did. Anyway, on to some concerning news. Kyle Shanahan.
I know.
Has suffered non-life-threatening injuries after a car accident.
Can we just list these injuries, though?
Yeah, please do.
3 broken ribs, broken hand, broken nose, over 40 stitches on his face, and a severe concussion. Not life-threatening, but quite debilitating. But
yes, and rumours of a concussion. Yeah, the concussion is the more concerning one.
Mm-hmm.
But what was very interesting is, why did it take 11 days for the San Francisco 49ers or any of the NFL insiders or any of the NFL networks to break this news? And then when you watch, it was broke by the 49ers at 12, Schefter at 12:01, and the NFL at 12:02 on the day it was released. So every single one of these were complicit in the holding of this information. And then when it went no more, and now because, of course, the NFL have now owned half of the networks and stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere has been hiding this, and they've been hiding it for a reason.
Yeah.
We don't know that reason yet, but it's been hidden for a reason.
Especially when considering also sad news, Panthers linebacker Nick Scorton tore his ACL. That news came out instantly.
Correct.
Like,
yeah, have some of that.
And so, I even apologize. Like, did you see the first person who came? Sorry, I'm about 20 minutes late because he had to get to his car. And I was like, that was very fast. Very sad news for him as well.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Kyle Shanahan, one of the finest offensive minds in the game. Really wish him all the best. A speedy recovery.
Oh,
that 49ers team. He is that 49ers team.
Yes, so it was. That'd be interesting, because I think it would actually affect my predictions for the season.
Okay, yes, if he's not back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes cleared by Kansas City Chiefs to fully participate in training camps today.
Oh,
I was
nice.
Watching some video footage with Chase Daniel, not like in the same room, but like he was on YouTube and I was in the room. Not me and Chase, just sitting together having a beer on the couch going, hey, shall we watch some footage from the Chiefs? And it was so interesting, the stuff he was pointing out. He is fully like in knee brace.
Yeah.
He's fully knee braced, but he is throwing.
Yeah.
And he is taking snaps. What's interesting, a lot of under center.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's saying that they're going to go for a very run heavy game.
They just did sign Kenneth Walker.
Kenneth Walker.
And they don't really have wide receivers. So it makes sense.
So they go for it, and that obviously will probably give him some protection as well. 100%,
yeah.
Unless their offensive line just gets burst open, and then. But it was interesting when they were doing the snaps, like the under center snaps. You see, there's the offensive coach, Bieniemy.
Mm-hmm.
There's Andy Reid, and then there's Nussmeier and Fields are all there in the picture.
Yeah.
And every single one of them, it's like, you know, you probably won't remember this. This is an English thing from way back. There used to be this competition you could do to win money called Spot the Ball. And it would be a photo of footballers with the football removed, and you would put X's on this thing, and you would win money if you guessed where the ball was. And it was almost like that, with, because all five of them were looking in the same direction.
Yeah.
None of them were looking at the throw. They were, everyone's eye was literally staring at his knee.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. It was okay. Every single eye was looking at his knee. Nothing was looking.
7 months. It's quite impressive.
It's unreal.
In terms of the, like, turnaround.
People are still dubious whether he may make week one.
Mm-hmm.
And does he need to against that defense? Against that defense, going up against against that Denver defense. Could you imagine?
Because that would be unreal if Patrick Mahomes played defense.
Let's just put two balls and two offenses on the field, and let's see who could score the fastest touchdown. That would be just amazing. But no, going up against that Denver defense, mm-hmm. who had the most amount of sacks, second most amount of sacks all time,
mm-hmm.
that would be a rough start.
Should we fly through the rest of the news quickly?
Yeah, let's do it.
DeAndre Hopkins working for the Pats coaching staff.
Yes, Malik Nabers avoided starting training camp on the physically unable to perform.
Ravens waive Diego Pavia ahead of the season.
He's done.
Yeah.
He's done.
Patriots offer Gonzalez highest cornerback deal in the market. Still has not taken it, waiting on Devin Witherspoon's contract for the Seahawks to come through.
ESPN fired major reporter lineup in rumoured financial clearance to pay Pat McAfee $60 million to be the headline of the network.
Lots of media conspiracy going on.
Yes.
Jets have a new white helmet, kind of looked like the Bills, no?
Bryce Young, future under discussion, becomes an unrestricted free agent in 2028.
Rams have a new all-white uniform as well, and a classic soul, which looked quite cool.
Cam Scadabo being Cam Scadabo, mm-hmm. trying to do a backflip at an event, and it went wrong, luckily. Did not injure himself, but John Harbaugh, not happy.
No, Panthers right tackle is to miss the start of the season with blood clots, so hoping him and wishing him well on his recovery. And Panthers are also renovating their stadium for 2030 with a cost of $1.3 billion.
Yes, and that work was underway when I was over there. Bank of America. Good news and sort of semi-bad news, but I'm going to take the more good news part, and that is that Tyreek Hill is back in training.
Yes.
And I saw some interviews, and he was told at the time of the injury he may never be able to walk on that leg again. Now, he's running, but he's got absolutely no power in his left leg still.
Yeah.
So, the 2026 NFL MVP favourites and odds were released this week.
I know, and we're going to be talking in a couple of weeks about all of the betting and predictions and what our thoughts are on for the people, so that you can look forward to that.
Yeah, they've got Josh Allen, without giving too much away, to repeat, which is interesting. In college news, there's been SEC media days and preseason polls. Georgia are tabbed to be the media's preseason favourite to win the SEC championship. Whilst LSU coach, as he does, Lane Kiffin dominated headlines with lengthy comments reflecting on his messy exit from Ole Miss. Roster moves and injuries. Five-star Texas cornerback commit John Meredith III reclassified to enroll and to play for the Longhorns immediately this fall. And Georgia running back Dante Dowder was sidelined indefinitely following a serious off-campus incident. Administrative changes. Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel announced he will step down at the end of the calendar year.
Cool. Should
There's
we move
news.
On to... Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, this is happening.
Wow.
What are we doing today, Darren?
Are we ranking defences?
We are, Darren.
Yeah, let's do that. Now, you've changed the rules on me, you told me yesterday.
I just thought it because I knew the top three defences, I think, are fairly obvious, and it's very hard to say that they're not the top three. So I thought I would do something slightly different because I know that you're going to bring those top three and you're going to bring all you have at them. So I thought I'd let you go with the top three.
Well, I've got top 10, actually.
I know you do.
I know. Do you just want me to talk about the three?
No, or you can talk about all top 10.
Do you want me to do the role?
You can.
I won't talk in depth about them because yours is quite interesting because you're going to talk a bit more about, you're looking at things from a different angle.
I just thought it'd be interesting because the top three are very hard to deny.
Here's my 10.
Go.
So in 10, it'll be interesting to see if you agree with this, the 49ers.
Interesting, yeah.
Yes, I think they've got injured players coming back, so I think they're going to be good. 9, I really didn't know about putting these in, but when I looked at the other options, the Chargers.
Chargers are interesting because they have lost JC Minter.
Yeah. So I didn't know whether to put them in or not. I almost swapped them out for the Jaguars.
I'm surprised you put the 49ers at 10 with Raheem Morris as the defensive coordinator because I know how you feel about him.
Yes. But I got confidence in anything. Well, I did have until Kyle Shanahan went and got in an accident. Mm-hmm. Anything that the 49ers do if Kyle Shanahan's anywhere near it. The Chargers, I was a bit, 6-7. I was a bit tossed up with them about. Whether the Jaguars should have been in there, but they've also not replaced key personnel. Number 8, the Ravens. They always seem to just have a defense. They are that team.
I'm a bit concerned about the Ravens were in the 20s, as were the Steelers last year.
Yeah.
I think it's just historically they're always good, but no, they have not been recently, so who knows.
7, the Patriots. I think they'll go well, but they'll be tested a lot more this year.
100%.
Number 6, the Vikings. I just don't think you can doubt the Vikings. They were very good last year, and nothing's really changed there to make me think.
What's interesting is the Vikings, they have had a significant change in the interior of their line. They picked up Caleb Banks and Dominic Orange and let their other two defensive tackles go. So that will be interesting. But like you say, Flores is just, it's hard to deny he runs a really good defense.
Yeah. And talking of which, number 5, the Eagles, Vic Fangio. Yep. They were good. Number 4, Seattle.
Yep.
I think they'll be, again, they'll be tested a lot more this year, especially with that Rams defense that are in their division as well.
Yes.
So number 3, the Rams. Obviously the older Aaron Donald, isn't he still keeps swirling around? I don't think he will. I think just
Rams
media
have completely overhauled their defense, but there is still a thing that you need to play well together.
Correct.
So I have them at number 4. I have the Seahawks ahead of them.
Number 2, the Denver Broncos. I did nearly put them at 1 because I do think they are the outstanding defense, only on the basis that the Texans have got so many players returning.
And then they just ridiculously added more. I was like, what are you doing? But okay, I love defense, but what are you doing? Why are you adding 50,000 more people to that side of the ball?
And yet you've still got CJ and just a few others on the other side. Number 1, the Texans, there you go. 10 through 1.
Yes, all of those teams have also kept their DC, so we'll be good to see them in the second year. But yes, defenses that got better, I agree. I have the Rams. Again, I'm a bit concerned because, when you just bring in so many new people, they have to learn how to play well together, so they might achieve a slower start than I think people think. But Trent McDuffie blitzing as well as Myles Garrett blitzing will be very cool and very fun to watch. The Titans defense is also a defense that I think got better. I don't think you can deny that they got better. I'm not saying they're top 10, but they definitely did get better. Their defensive line completely overhauled. Robert Saleh is a great defensive coordinator. I think he'll have that unit playing very, very well with Jeffrey Simmons leading it. The Panthers, I'm a bit concerned about now. After Nick Scorton went out, they were kind of thinking Jalen Phillips and Nick Scorton as their two star edge rushers. You've now lost your star Saka from last year, so that will be interesting. But they did pick up Devin Lloyd as well, so I think that defense is going to also get better. And it's going to have to be because the Panthers are really relying on the defense to lead them to a division win again. And then I think the Commanders also got better. I think it'll be interesting to see Dan Quinn. He has led good defenses in the past. You've obviously got a new DC there as well coming over from the Vikings. So it'll be interesting to see Dan Quinn and Brian Flores' kind of defense mixed up in there. But you've added Omenihu, Owe, and Chanel to the pass rush. So I think that will definitely be better. So, yes, as Darren is still coughing, so I will keep talking.
No, I'm good.
You're done, okay?
Yeah, no, you just seem that you're on a roll, so I'm not interrupting.
I was just watching you try not die over there.
No, that's fine.
I was keeping my eye on checking that you didn't need some sort of resuscitation over there because I was talking about defense too much and you were just
taking the oxygen completely out of the offensive room.
And then the other team that I thought should be good and have had some changes but should still be okay is the Falcons. They've kept their defensive coordinator even though they had a change of head coach, so Jeff Albert Norwich is there again, and Avion Terrell and AJ Terrell, I'm very excited to see play together, so that will be fun. And then I think this is the one I really want to talk about. My surprising defense for the year is the Saints. The Saints' defense in the last 5 weeks of last year looked really, really good. Their defensive backfield has lost a bit of talent, but their defensive backfield last year was solid towards the end of the year. So, yeah, I think Saints are going to go far this year. And they were quietly in the top 10. They were number 8 in defense last year. Not sure if you knew that.
No, I did not. But when I was doing my list, I had Saints and Jags just outside. Yep.
The Jags, like you said, I'm a bit concerned. They do have their DC coming back, Campanelli. He did have some head coaching offers, or not offers, interviews last year. But yeah, the loss of Devin Lloyd, Wingard and Nogba is concerning for the Jags. Yeah, so that's... And then the other defences you might ask me about, but I do have a bit of concern about. The Browns, who I am repping, and we repped last year. Loss of Jim Schwartz could be big, but they do have talent, so they could also still be top 10. Chargers, loss of Minter, like I said to you. Packers, loss of their defense coordinator down to the Miami. And Micah Parsons been out for probably the first 6 weeks is concerning. And Steelers, I'm a bit concerned about Patrick Graham as the defensive coordinator. And Ravens,
age on the Steelers as well. It's age.
Ravens, as you said, they do have a good head coach and defense coordinator, DC Weaver. So, yeah, I just don't know. I have to see it to believe it. The Ravens haven't had a pass rush in years, so...
I mean, the Browns, Myles Garrett, I mean, it's going to be an unrecognisable defence without him, right?
Yeah, and Jim Schwartz, he ran, like, 2023, Browns' defence was almost top one. Like, it was really, really good. So, should we move on, though, to who I have been talking about, the Panthers?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, this is happening.
Wow.
This week we're talking NFC South.
Our fifth division.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the fifth or sixth? No, sixth.
No, next week's in it. No.
It's the sixth one we've talked about. Yeah, so we've got two to come.
Two to come.
So do you want to, should we start off with the Saints?
Yep. I think both of us are high on the Saints this year.
I'm very high. I was high on the Saints the end of last year.
Yeah.
I can't believe I actually finished bottom of their division.
Yeah, over-under is 7.5.
Yeah. I mean, that last year, no team had a winning record in this division.
No,
right?
And they often don't.
No. So this is the 60th season of the Saints being in the NFL.
Yep.
Kellen Moore's second year.
Tyler Shook's second year.
That's right, yeah. Key changes include drafting wide receiver Jordan Tyson 8th overall, adding running back Travis Etienne Jr., and transitioning to Tyler Shook at quarterback.
Yeah, I'm really high on the defense of Brandon Staley. I think the loss of Alonte Taylor could be a bit of a problem at the back, but Demario Davis, obviously a big defensive leader for them. But I think getting 10 sacks out of Cam Jordan in his late 30s is impressive. So, yeah, no, I think the Saints are going to be really good this year.
They got three relatively competent quarterbacks as well. Tyler Shook, Spencer Rattler, Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Obviously, the other loss, which is now the total change to the way they play, Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
So, training camp runs July 29 to August 27. So, notable games. Week one on the road against our Detroit Lions, host the Falcons in week 4 and play the Steelers week 7. I just look at them and go, notable. I'm like, eh. You know, so I'm really looking forward to them.
Super winnable.
Going up against the Falcons and the Panthers this year too.
Panthers are in training camp right now because they are playing in the Hall of Fame game.
Yes.
Panthers, interesting, added Kenny Pickett at quarterback. They also added Haynes King's undrafted free agent, who we have both said that we think may play a game this year for the Panthers. A lot riding on Bryce Young to see if he can play it out. Their defense, obviously, with the injuries, a bit concerning. And also JC Horn is starting the season on the NFI list, so that's also notable for that side of the ball.
Yes.
But yeah, I think, in reality, pretty much any team in this division could win this division. The Panthers 100% could do it, but yeah, it really comes down to Bryce Young.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was watching some footage of people talking about this division, and they were talking about CJ Stroud, like, oh, you know, he had half a great season and blah. And then they talked about Bryce Young and went, one week he was a trailblazer, and the next week you just wish he hadn't turned up.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem he's got to overcome.
It's not consistent.
His consistency. And as we talked about earlier, you know, UFA from 2028, is he, I don't know. At some point, I mean, they and the Texans have got to make a massive decision over that quarterback thing, right?
So, I think CJ Stroud is a bit easier to make a decision on paying him, whereas Bryce Young, I don't.
No.
Falcons, though, over-under is 6.5, so the Falcons are actually the least likely, apparently, betting odds to win the division.
You just missed out on something as well.
What did I miss out on?
The Panthers. I was just about to say, regular season opener, hosting
the Bears. Bear down!
There you go. See, you almost lost your chance.
Well, sorry. Every single, so the NFC South are versing the AFC North and NFC North. So I can say bear down to every.
It was their opening. It was their opening game. So
I can say bear down to every team. But yeah, so the Falcons 6.5 are meant to currently betting on to be the last in their division.
Yeah, which surprises me because I think the Buccaneers are a struggle in that division. Obviously, new head coach Kevin Stefanski facing a pivotal quarterback competition and aiming to snap a lengthy playoff drought.
I reckon they're going to start with Tua, and then at some point they'll swap back to Penix. Yeah,
when Tua gets another concussion,
or just when Tua tours.
Yes, so it will be interesting because obviously they drafted Penix high.
Yes,
and Tua they didn't pay a lot for.
Pretty much, you know, if they had a halfway decent, consistent quarterback, they could 100% win the division because they have, as we've discussed, they have a lot of talent on everywhere on offense and on defense. They played really well last
year. Drake London, Bijan Robinson,
Kyle Pitts. It's ridiculous.
This is almost wasted.
It is. It's
talent,
completely wasted.
Wasted talent. I mean, they've and then in the draft class, Avon Terrell and Zachariah Branch.
And Harold Perkins Jr.
From LSU. So, as you said, the projected wins is 6.5 to 7.5.
That's really,
ceiling at 10 to 12,
that would be a good season.
That would be a very good season. But open against the Denver Broncos in preseason, so that'd be interesting. But then no one's going to be playing.
So
it's going to be a waste of time.
They open the season against the Steelers, and they end the season with the Panthers. So it's always fun when you have a division game in the last. They actually end the season with 3 divisional games, Bucks, Saints, Panthers. So
that's a tough end.
Yeah.
And then the Bucks enter the 2026 NFL season transitioning under new leadership featuring key shifts with offensive coordinator Zach Robinson, new backfield addition Kenneth Gainwell, and defense integrating a wave of younger starters.
I think Zach Robinson will be a good fit with Baker Mayfield. He did ask for Zach Robinson, so that will be really great. They obviously have lost Lavonte David and Mike Evans, both key leaders on both sides of the ball. So that will be interesting to see who steps into that. But their wide receiver room, especially with the people coming back from injury, are going to be good. Like, their wide receivers are good. They've got a good room there, so that will be interesting. And they should have a good line. Really, it all comes down to can Baker stay healthy.
Yes. I mean, then you've got Gainwell and Irvin in the backfield.
Well,
so their opener is on the road at the Bengals. And then week 2, they host your very fine top that you've got there, the Cleveland Browns.
You're trying to make me say bear down.
Nope. It's our former team.
They bear down in week, I think it's week 8.
Yeah, I just don't, I don't fancy the Buccaneers. I really don't.
I know you don't. I do like the addition of Reuben Bain Jr. I don't think anyone expected him to drop as low as he did to the Bucs in the first round.
Yes.
So, that'll be fun.
Yep.
Fun times. And that was the division of the NFC South.
And next week we will have
the AFC
North.
Where we talk about our old team, the Cleveland Browns, and hopefully they may have decided their quarterback. Probably not. They'll probably add one in a week.
I was going to say, they could add another 5 and drop 2 of them and, like, yeah.
Oh, no. It's just, yeah. So I thought it'd be fun to discuss the offense. Because I know you love offense.
Are you blind ranking me again? Am I getting blind ranked again?
So I thought it'd be fun because after the Super Bowl was won by what everyone would consider a non-top 5 QB. You would not put Sam Darnold in top 5. But however, there was a top 5 wide receiver who won the Super Bowl, JSN.
Yes.
So I thought it would be very fun to pose to you, would you rather have a top 5 QB on your team or a top 5 wide receiver? I will now list out different lists so you can have a little think and I can give you time to formulate your argument. So a lot of top QBs have not been to the Super Bowl. You've got Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Philip Rivers, Jordan Love. They've not been to the Super Bowl, but quite a few have, obviously. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Matt Stafford, Joe Burrow. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, well, both Manning brothers currently, and maybe Arch Manning next year. Who knows? And then a lot of wide receivers have been to the Super Bowl. You've got Jamar Chase, JSN, Tyreek Hill. If you want to go back in time, you've got Mike Irvin, all of that. Cooper Kupp, Mike Evans, all of them. And then a lot of wide receivers who have not, who are top five. You've got Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Drake London, Devontae Adams, and then Keenan Allen and DJ Moore.
So you want me to just go, I would take a top five QB over a top five?
Pretty much, what would you rather do?
Well, today I was watching some footage of Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
Dropping again and going, you just can't have top wide receivers doing that because that kills you, right?
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I think you need a quarterback that can actually find the receiver in the first place. But it's interesting when, obviously, the MVP last year and now the projected MVP of this year can't seem to get anywhere near a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So supporting cast is amazing. Now, has he not got to a Super Bowl because he hasn't got a good enough wide receiver to take there? Or is it just that the defense weren't good enough and it didn't matter how many points they put up, they just can't win games? But I would take a top five quarterback over a top five wide receiver.
Okay.
Simply for the fact that everything runs through the quarterback. And a top five quarterback isn't just about it can throw the ball a long way. It can throw it accurately. It's the mental. You know, you look at someone like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, couldn't run for toffee, right?
But Peyton Manning took a while to get there.
He did, but he got there three times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the mental side as well.
Tom Brady, with all of his Super Bowls, you could argue the first few were defensive-led.
Yeah, but you've still got to gain enough points to get there as well. I mean, I agree, but like, you also look at his body of work without those defenses.
Yeah, it was later in his career,
You know, and you look at the Denver Super Bowl 50 that Peyton Manning won. That was the defense that won that Super Bowl. Peyton Manning threw for the lowest amount of yards in a Super Bowl ever, but like,
and the Super Bowl this year, that was the Seahawks defense won that. Because Sam Darnold, actually, when you look at it, did not play particularly well in that game.
No, it was more the fact that Drake May had completely got spooked by the situation and then the occasion.
The defense, yeah.
But I think I would take the top five because I'd go take Josh Allen out the Bills. They wouldn't even be competitive. They wouldn't even be close. And I'm questioning Lamar Jackson at the moment. I mean, I don't know whether that door's gone, but would you go, okay, you got one choice next year. You can either keep Lamar Jackson at Baltimore or he can go to Minnesota and you can have Justin Jefferson instead.
Is he only allowed to wear purple or something?
Sure, yeah.
This is his contract.
From a colorblind guy, that wasn't a bad effort, was it? But I was just thinking of probably arguably the best wide receiver and go, take Jackson out, send him to Minnesota. Take Jefferson out of Minnesota and send him to Baltimore. Which team would do better? I mean, it obviously depends which person replaces Lamar. But
the Vikings, because they still have better wide receivers than the Ravens. If you're going for that argument, Jordan Addison is a better wide receiver than they have on the Ravens, like overall, like just genuinely.
But that's how I was kind of looking at it, is going, you take one out of one team and one out of another and switch them and go, who actually gets the better deal? You know,
Lamar Jackson and the Vikings.
Yeah.
Because he's got a better defense than he has in Baltimore and, for that specific situation.
I mean, wide receivers can win games with just electric plays, top speed, amazing catches.
Well, think about, like, Calvin Johnson took over quite a few games there, and so did Julio Jones, like, earlier back in the days. They completely took over games. There was a game where he had, like, 250 yards in the first half. And, like, yes, Matthew Stafford was there throwing him the ball, but, like, that was Calvin Johnson being Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, he was a rare talent, though, right? I mean, but, you just do those exchanges and you go, you know, take Mahomes out of Kansas and put Jamar Chase there, you know, and stuff like that. You go, I don't know if Kansas could win. I don't know
where
what
they
it
are
is.
Right now, couldn't. I think 2 years ago, potentially, because Andy Reid was on a different level and they had Spagnuolo and the defense looked really good. And then you would have Jamar Chase and Travis Kelce in this prime that would look quite good if you just had an average QB there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we saw what happened to them with average QBs there last year, right? Nobody else really changed.
I don't know if you... I would say the drop-off between the backup QB for the Chiefs and the Patrick Mahomes was quite a significant drop-off. I think this year they may have a slightly better backup QB room, and I think you would agree because one of them is from your college team.
Yes, Mr. Nussmeier. Well, here's a question then, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take this approach, if you go, let's go to the Cincinnati Bengals, it's probably the most obvious one. I think we both agree that Joe Burrow is a top five, if not top three quarterback.
Jamar Chase is.
And Jamar Chase. If one of them was to get injured tomorrow, which one would the team miss the most?
Well, I think this is an interesting situation, though, because you have T. Higgins, who you can arguably say is a top 10 to 15 wide receiver. So that's a very hard situation, because if you... like, take Joe Burrow out, the Bengals' season fell apart. Also, their defense was terrible. They're not a very well-balanced team in general, but they already have two very good wide receivers. If T. Higgins wasn't there, then I think you would have a different discussion. But because T. Higgins is there...
Yeah, I'm kind of just looking at teams and going, where's a big top quarterback? Where's a big top wide receiver? And go time and time again, which one? Well, take one of them out, which one does the team then?
If you go back to the Vikings have a top five wide receiver and they can't make it to the Super Bowl because they don't have a QB.
Have a top five QB?
Yeah. Well, not even a top five QB. They don't have a top 32 QB.
No. Not now.
Last year they didn't either. J.J. McCarthy's not for top 32 QB either. He doesn't even appear in quite a lot of stats, and he did play games last year.
Take Matthew Stafford or Puka Nacua. Arguably, Puka Nacua's top five, top 10 wide receiver. Stafford's top five quarterback.
Now, if you're just doing those two, Matthew Stafford, because Puka Nacua, I don't think you would want him on your team.
No, take away the social issues. I'm just saying the skill.
Well, I think what's interesting, though, because then you have, like, an argument of Cooper Kupp was not Cooper Kupp once he left Sean McVay's offense.
Except he would just won the Super Bowl.
Yes, but he didn't win the Super Bowl. He was not the wide receiver that won the Super Bowl.
And was the MVP. No, but he was the MVP for the Rams, and
yes,
they just cut him.
Yeah.
Like, out of here.
It's because he got asked to block so much.
Yes.
And that ruins a wide receiver's body.
So that's where you could argue some of, but then he didn't win it for the Seahawks, as you say.
No, it was very much a different wide receiver that won it for the Seahawks.
Well, it was the kind of the running game as well, right?
Yeah,
and the running game of Kenneth Walker and stuff like
defense,
that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting, right, when you kind of look at it from different angles and you just go, do you want a top five QB or do you want a top five receiver? And then you go, actually, let's find a team where you've got one of each in the team and go, okay, take one away then.
Yeah.
And which one do you think hurts the most? And I don't know at the minute if we're edging on the side of the quarterback.
I don't know. It's the question I posed to you. Because I know you like offense and I know you love wide receivers. So I was very interested to see what you were going to say because I know you do love that position particularly.
I mean, what's interesting, right, is that the Giants won two Super Bowls arguably without a top five QB.
Oh, 100%, yeah. No, I would agree with that, yeah.
You know, but did they have a top wide receiver that did actually win it for them?
Well, they had one wide receiver that 100% won it for them with a helmet catch. You can't argue that helmet catch did not. That was a wide receiver that won the Super Bowl for them. To be fair, their defense and everyone else performed very well that day, but that specific wide receiver with his little tie, who was it, tie someone, I can't remember.
Yes, I can't remember his name now. Was it David something?
There was the tie. Like T.Y. was, I can't remember.
Okay.
Do you know that's a wide receiver I was thinking about? No one talks about T.Y. Hilton anymore.
Yes. Huh. Here's a quick question for you, but we've got a minute left. I'll throw it to you. It's an offensive question.
Go.
Would a take a team, and I suppose the Seahawks we're going to see, a top five running back or a top five wide receiver?
For like team, if you're
like a team,
from a team,
like,
building perspective, like, top five wide receiver because top five running back doesn't last.
No, but
from a team building perspective,
if you look at the Kansas City Chiefs without a running game, and I think that's why they're trying to go back there because without that high quality running back, they've really. Their game.
To be fair, they never had a high quality running back though. They didn't. What was interesting, Eric Bieniemy, who has a very good running game, left and then they didn't have a good running game. So I would say that was more coaching than running back talent.
Well, there we go. That is another Monday Night Showdown over and done with. Thank you for that. And thank you for making it so offensive friendly.
I thought you'd
thank
like
you.
It.
I do. And so that is our show. As always, don't forget on get on those socials and follow and subscribe. But we'll be back next Monday at 6:30. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm DT.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too.